The Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Brandon Batista, give me the rock. Here it goes. Up, up, and away. Slam jam, bam. And now he does a little dance.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Wednesday, May 18th, 2022, and it's my official duty to welcome you into episode 266 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Cue Emperor Palpatine cackling about executing episode 266. And if you're not familiar with that, we'll go watch Star Wars Revenge of the Sith and try to keep it together when they execute Order 66 and so many Jedi. So many don't make it. It's tragic. But anyway, I'm here in the Jardy minivan. It's about almost 10 o'clock here on Wednesday night, and we've got some news to react to today. So earlier this afternoon, because it was right around noon, Ohio State announced that pending like final Board of Trustees approval, Ohio State men's basketball coach Chris Holtmann will be signing a three-year contract extension that will bump his salary to $3.5 million per year and will now keep him under contract at Ohio State through the 2027-2028 season. This means that Holtmann will be under contract for 11 years at Ohio State. He's entering year six of an eight-year contract, so this tacks 3 years on the end of that deal and makes him roughly the eighth highest paid coach in the Big Ten. Now, we're going to talk more about the contract, what we know, what we don't know, and then we're going to get a little bit into what this means and what it says about where Ohio State is and the job that Chris Holtmann is judged to be doing by his bosses. So that's what this episode of the podcast is going to be. Before we get to that, though, I want to remind you, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever else you enjoy the finest of podcasts. We're more than midway through May. Players will be reporting to campus in about 2 weeks. We're going to have summer camps at Ohio State in June. And if you subscribe, you'll automatically get the newest podcast as soon as our man, Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, is able to grab them and publish them. So while you're subscribing, while you're downloading, please leave a review. Please click 5 stars. Please consider telling a friend. And while you're at it, don't forget to sign up for our subscriber text subscription service. If you were part of that, you knew that this contract extension was coming, and you were some of the first people to find out about it. So it's a great way to keep in touch with whatever's going on with Ohio State basketball. Obviously, the texts are not coming as fast and furious as they were during the season, but we're still having some really good conversations on there, and I'm still getting a lot of really good feedback from you as far as what you want to hear from me, what you want to read from me, what your thoughts are on the state of things. It's been a great way to pass along little things that I know and really just get a better feel for the fan base. It's a direct line to me. We can text back and forth, and it's free if you're a subscriber to the Dispatch. So there's links to that in essentially every story that I write. So it's pretty easy to find. You can find it on, should be on dispatch.com and buckeyeextra.com. So please consider doing that. And while we're talking about things I would like you to do, I'd also point you in the direction of last week's episode in case you haven't watched it yet, where I had a great conversation with Dallas Lauderdale. And it was one of those interviews where it made me wish I wasn't doing another podcast so soon, because I want it to have time to breathe and to live before it gets bumped down on the episode list. But duty calls, news happens, and here we are. But I would really encourage you to give that interview a listen. It was just great reminiscing on how Dallas got to Ohio State and what that experience was like for him. And we even got into some talk about what this summer's Carbon Screw team may or may not look like, when we'll get some answers on that. So definitely go give that a listen. So now, here's what we know about Chris Holtmann's new contract. It's a three-year extension, like I mentioned, through the 2027-2028 season, which will increase his pay from roughly $3 million a year to $3.5 million. And that puts him somewhere around eighth in the Big Ten. Not every coach's salaries are publicly known, but he's somewhere right around there at the moment. And this is one thing that I did find fascinating. This now puts him higher than Northwestern's Chris Collins. So Chris Collins was making more money until just now at Northwestern than Chris Holton was making at Ohio State. That blows my mind a little bit. This was a conversation that started a year ago. And I'm going to reference a couple of times in this podcast a conversation that I had a year ago with Gene Smith, where we talked about the program and Holtman's job and how, you know, how he judged Holtman to be doing. And we have the annual performance reviews and things like that. But when I asked Gene about the contract situation, and at this point, Chris Holtman was through 4 seasons and the buyout would drop significantly from that point. And that was a major part of sort of all this conversation and of how we are at the point that we are at right now, because after 4 years, Chris Holtman's buyout dropped to, it was almost negligible, to the point where it made him incredibly attractive to any high major coaching job that felt like they wanted to make a run at Chris Holtman, because he has a proven track record of success, and the buyout was essentially nothing. It was low enough that even if you didn't think it was realistic that you would be able to convince him to leave Ohio State, it merited kicking the tires a little bit and just seeing where things might go. So that led to one of the things I talked about with Gene last year, was if that remains the case going forward, like, are you comfortable with every time a job opens, whether there's interest or not, Chris's name is going to be floated with that, because he is a viable, attractive candidate, and there's no buyout that would prevent anybody from wanting to pursue luring him away. And when I asked Gene about that, and is that a concern? Is that, like, are you okay with seeing his name at the top of every coaching list that would come out? Gene said that, you know, talk of a new contract, that was a 2022 conversation. He mentioned that a couple of times in our interview. So this was never a situation where it was, from my understanding, this is all extremely amicable. And there was no hard negotiations. There was no animosity here from the way I understand it. But it did pick up steam, and these conversations engaged when the season ended, and they got together and started talking. And that's where we get to where we are right now. And we're still waiting on the details of the contract. As soon as they are available, I will have a copy and I will be breaking it down, and we'll see all the specifics that would be in there. But this, from what I understand, this is not a contract like, if you think back in 2021, Maryland signed Mark Turgeon to a contract where it added 3 years to his deal, but it had the buyout was negligible if he said, I'm going to go elsewhere. So he got like a little bump in pay, and he added some time onto the end. But it was very much like, I don't know if the phrase paper contract makes sense, but there wasn't much teeth to it. And you read that contract, and it very much was a contract where you said, this is just keeping things sort of status quo. Like, we had to address the contract situation one way or another, because he didn't have 4 years remaining. So that can very easily be used against you in recruiting. So this contract is not that kind of contract. My understanding is there's significant teeth to the buyout here. And for both parties, where if Ohio State would decide to fire Chris Holtman, they would owe him a heck of a lot of money. And if he were to decide that he wanted to go somewhere else, he would have to pay a heck of a lot of money. So this is two parties deciding that it was in both of their best interests to add more years, add more money, even more firmly commit to each other, and to now take that next step. So Holtman's, like I said, he's in line now to be at Ohio State for at least 11 years, that the contract will run through what would be his 11th season, which is, it's wild to me to think that we are as far along as we are. And some of that, as I mentioned on here, Chris Holtman was hired when my youngest son was like 3 weeks old. So like I always just like kind of equate this era with my son being born. And it's hard to believe that we're sitting here and we're 5 years in. And actually tomorrow my son graduates from preschool. So there's all kinds of emotions going through the Jardy household right now. But that's, excuse me, that's where we are right now. We are 5 years in and we're looking at there's 6 years ahead now where this is the direction that Ohio State basketball is going. And as I mentioned before, this will remove him from those conversations now for the next several years, every time a job opens. You know, if 3 years down the road, I don't know, pick a school, UCLA opens, Mick Cronin decides whatever. Like, I don't think UCLA is going to be calling Ohio State to try to hire Chris Holtmann because this buyout is going to be what it's going to be. So we'll know more about that, like I said, when we get to the, or when we actually get a finalized signed version of the contract. But that's where things stand moving forward with this. So what does this contract tell us about Ohio State and how Ohio State, and more specifically Gene Smith, views Holtmann? We're going to get into that right here next. First, I'm going to go get a drink of water and clear my throat, and then I'll be right back. So now this brings us to the ever-present question of what reasonable expectations are for Ohio State men's basketball. And it's an answer that, frankly, seems to evolve a little bit. And this is something we'll delve into more as the season goes on. But it was something that immediately got brought to the forefront. I had a lot of back and forth in my Twitter mentions about today's news and what this means. So I went back a little bit and was thinking back to Chris Holtmann's first press conference. It was 1 week to the day that Thad Matta firing was announced. So it was a Monday. Inside it was on the main floor, excuse me, at Valley City Arena. And Gene Smith was talking to myself and a few other reporters. And he said, when asked about Ohio State basketball, quote, "We should be in the hunt for the championship eventually every single year. We should be one of those teams. And Thad had it going for a window of time where Ohio State has a chance to always be in the hunt for the Big Ten championship." And then, as I mentioned earlier, I had a conversation with Gene this time last year, one-on-one, and asked him about reasonable expectations for the program. And this was what he told me. He said, quote, "This is a tough league, but I really believe that our ultimate objective is to be in the hunt and periodically win it. To me, that's not unrealistic for our men's basketball program. There's years, for whatever reasons, you're not going to win it. A team might be better than you, or injuries, or whatever it is, but we've got to be in the hunt." So let's file those thoughts away. I also asked in that interview, was it concerning, and this was a year ago, to not yet have a trophy during the Chris Holtmann era? And Gene said, quote, "It doesn't concern me at all because I'm looking at it objectively and I know why. I look at the roster management and what he inherited and the job he did with it. We've got to count that year in his 4 years. But the reality is his transition year was, I thought, an excellent job of transitioning." So that's all kind of nebulous enough to give us plenty of room to debate. And that's where we are. And after 5 years, there is a debate. So here are some numbers. Chris Holtmann is the third fastest coach in Ohio State history to reach 100 career wins, behind only Thad Matta and Fred Taylor. He has a career winning percentage right now of 0.656, which for Ohio State coaches at Ohio State since the Titanic sank, 1912, is only behind Thad Matta, who won 73.3% of his games. Chris Holtmann is second at 65.6%. He is the second Ohio State coach to win at least 20 games in each of his first five seasons, joining Thad Matta. And he's one of just three Power 5. Ohio State is now one of just three Power 5 teams to win at least 20 games in each of the last 5 years, joining Kansas and Oregon. So that then leads us into, well, during those 5 years, the Jayhawks just won the national championship, and the Ducks have reached two Sweet 16s during those 5 years. It is interesting, though, in those other 3 years, they missed the tournament twice. And in 2020, when there was no tournament, KenPom had projected Oregon as a 4 seed. Then you can also look at the fact that in 5 years, Ohio State has not won a Big Ten title, regular season or conference. There's the Oral Roberts loss, has not reached a Sweet 16 yet. And I was looking, the last coach at Ohio State to not make at least a Sweet 16 during his first 5 years among coaches who won or who got 5 years, because obviously Gary Williams wasn't around for five. But the last coach to not make a Sweet 16 during his first 5 years was Eldon Miller. But when OSU won a game in that 1980 tournament, the tournament only had 48 teams. So we're not talking apples to apples there. And when you look at average Big Ten finish during these last 5 years, Ohio State's average Big Ten finish has been 5.2. For comparison, during the same stretch, Thad was at 3.4. Jim O'Brien was at 3.6. Randy Ayers, 4.6. And Eldon Miller, 5.4. Now, to build on that, this is what Gene Smith told me last May when I asked him about the culture of the program. And he said, quote, "I felt really good about our culture before, really, but this is a whole new level. Academically, they're maintaining 3.0 GPA constantly. All the kids are doing well in the classroom. This togetherness, I've seen it before." Thad had it. He had it periodically, and when he was winning championships in the last couple of years, it waned a little bit. I think the camaraderie and chemistry he had among the team members, his communication with them is outstanding. They're killing it in the classroom. All the things we want our program to have, he's doing it. Even though we haven't held up the trophy yet, I just think he's such a good coach that at some point we'll hold that trophy. I also think it's fair to acknowledge in this conversation that this is a completely different era of college basketball than even when Thad started. You know, it still blows my mind to think that Jim O'Brien and Thad Mata only played 16 Big Ten games a season. Tolman's got 20. You think about what that does to a strength of schedule and what that does to, you know, playing more high major, high quality opponents compared to Houston Baptist and the like that makes a difference. And you think about roster construction now, and you think about the constant turnover that coaches have to deal with, and NIL, and all the ways that this job has changed so significantly from where it was, even honestly, when Chris Holtman got the job. But it is fascinating how different, how quickly this era has become so different to me. And I think that needs factored into the whole conversation, the whole picture here. And I found a stat. I was reading a story that my friend Doug LaMaurice at Cleveland.com wrote, and something he would very often cite. Ohio State won 5 regular season Big Ten titles in 13 years under Thad. The Buckeyes won 5 in the previous 33 years before Thad. So what is the standard? It's a fair question. And I think we have to look at the way that Gene approached this and him saying that they believe in the direction of the program and that the expectation is to consistently be in the hunt. So we can decide how we want to define being in the hunt. 2018, Ohio State comes one game from winning an outright big, or at least a share of the regular season Big Ten title. I would classify that as being in the hunt. 2020, that team was positioned for a postseason run better than any team that Ohio State has had under Holtman. The numbers would tell you that team was poised for at least a Sweet 16. We'll never know. And I don't think if you want to say it's not fair to assume that it would have gotten that far, I think that's fair, but I also think it's fair to say that it's not fair to assume that it would not. We don't know. So I think that team was in the hunt for, could have had a really good Big Ten tournament, and I think it had a postseason run in it. 2021, that team came within a game of a Big Ten tournament championship, and if not for, was in the hunt really until about the last week or so of the season. And then we know what happened in the NCAA tournament, the Oral Roberts loss. That's the kind of loss that sticks with you. That's the kind of loss that is a black mark on a resume for sure. And there are factors that went into that, but that still goes down as one of the, well, at the time, 10 biggest. And now after this past season, one of the 11 biggest upsets in the NCAA tournament, where a 15 seed is beating a 2 seed or a 16 seed is beating a 1 seed. But I think you could reasonably argue that that 2021 team was in the hunt. And this past season, Ohio State, until the last week of the season, when I will always wonder, if not for COVID in such a compressed schedule down the stretch, what would this team have looked like those last couple of games? And for it to go to Maryland with 8 days left in the regular season, and if it won out, was very much in the running for a shot at a title. I would consider that to be a for the majority of the season, that team was in the hunt. So, obviously, 2019, that team squeaked into the tournament, won a game, overachieved. When you look at those numbers, I think some will call those excuses. Some will call them reasons. I just call them facts. That's how this has unfolded to this point. There is a very strong belief, and the contract tells us this, that the breakthrough is coming. And that there is validity to the belief that if you keep knocking on that door, you're going to break through at some point. This definitely does not, the contract extension does not tell me that it is Sweet 16 or a bust in the eyes of the bosses. Like that would not, I just don't see that being the case, given that this is adding 3 years to a contract and upping the ante on both sides. I think obviously everyone involved with the program would like to see that breakthrough, but this does not make 2022-2023 a make or break NCAA tournament season for Ohio State. This does tell me that there is a belief, again, not only that the breakthrough is coming, but that it is coming through recruiting, and it's coming through building a roster and through this recruiting class and stacking it with the 2023 recruiting class and augmenting it with transfers, because that's how you got to play the game now. But it does tell me that these recruiting classes are crucial. These guys need to develop and live up to to the rankings. That you've got four top 50, top 60 guys in this year's class. You've got two top 90 guys in next year's class, and room to add a couple of more. I don't know how big that class will look, because trying to project a roster more than a couple weeks in advance anymore is folly. But to me, this tells me that there is a strong belief within the Ohio State Athletic Department leadership that a breakthrough is coming, that the program is on the right track, and that they believe that they're going to get there with Chris Holtmann. And if you go by the criteria that we've outlined, that they need to be in the hunt, I would argue they've been in the hunt more than they've not. I absolutely believe that it would be in everybody's best interest to bring home some kind of trophy before long. And I certainly get the frustrations from the fan base about not having done that yet. But I'm very interested to see now what the dynamic looks like going forward, and how this program now takes the next step, where they're not looking over their shoulder wondering. And I don't even know, I don't believe this was the case at all, but this eliminates any doubt about what is the future of the coaching staff. Does Ohio State believe in Chris Holtmann? Ohio State believes in Chris Holtmann. Ohio State believes that Chris Holtmann is going to get the job done. Ohio State believes that a breakthrough is coming. Ohio State believes that it is annually in the hunt, and that sooner or later, that is going to pay off. That's where we sit today. So we'll have more analysis, like I said, as we get the contract and as we get further and further along down the road here. But that's what today tells me. That's my big takeaway from Ohio State and Chris Holtmann adding 3 years, upping the salary and upping the buyout and putting some real teeth to the contract. That's where I think that is what Ohio State's actions tell me today. So I would get into a couple more things, but as you hear, I just can't seem to get my voice back under control tonight. And I have had a number of interviews today. I've spent a lot of time talking today, still racking up these interviews with the incoming 2022 class, where I speak with each freshman and their coach for their senior year to get in-depth looks on what their seasons were like. And I love writing these stories. You guys seem to really enjoy reading them. I've got 8 of the 10 interviews done, and one is scheduled for Friday. The other one is probably going to be Monday, and then I can actually start getting to work on all these. Two really quick things to pass along, though. One, I talked to Bowen Hardman earlier this week, and if you're a tech subscriber, I texted this out to you, but he basically said we only got to see about maybe 15% of him this season. He had a significant ankle injury that occurred during the second game of the season that basically knocked him out for the rest of the year. He came back, played the last couple of games, but basically playing on one leg. Had a really heartfelt conversation with him about what that experience was like, how it happened, the impact it had on him and his mentality going forward. I think it's going to be an interesting. I think you're really going to like reading that story. And I will also pass along, I just spoke right before doing this podcast. I spoke with Roddy Gales, high school coach out in Utah at I don't know if it's Wasatch or Wasatch Academy. I know how to spell it. I just don't always know how to say it, which is, I guess, fair given my career here. But anyway, I spoke with his coach, Paul Peterson, who mentioned that Roddy actually played injured all year, or at least most of the year. He had a nagging groin injury. And he told me tonight that Roddy did undergo a procedure today or possibly yesterday to address that. So I don't have more of an update than that. But I'll be speaking to Roddy here before too long, and we'll pass along more when I know it. Until then, I will encourage you. I just got the Sam Fender album, which was one it had been kind of a slow burn. I had heard a little bit about him, but hadn't gone out and actually gotten any of his music. But his track 17 Going Under is just, I cannot get enough of that song right now. And yeah, that's also the name of the album. It's really good. I've been digging that a lot. I'm still listening to that Gang of Youth's album I've mentioned on here a few times. I also got the latest album from Blossoms, which is a British band that I really enjoy. Their newest album is called Ribbon Around the Bomb, and I got that, so I'm really digging that. And as I sit here, we are 9 days away from the release of Liam Gallagher's third solo album. Let's get that countdown going. I can't wait. So now I'm going to get out of here because my voice is completely deserting me, and I'm going to need it tomorrow to deal with my son graduating from preschool, which is hard to believe. But as always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you to Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, for dealing with this and for putting this all together. I'll be back with you sometime next week. Until then, rock over London, rock on Chicago.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.